Have you ever found yourself developing a Java application where it was very necessary to talk to low-level libraries by accessing code in a native way? Or imagine accessing memory off of the Java's memory heap. What about your desktop's graphics card? Or even the ability to communicate with an RFID card reader? Well, in this talk, I'm going to show you how to use Java's new APIs called Project Panama. Hello and welcome to Project Panama for newbies. This is a friendly introduction to JEPs, or better known as Java Enhancement Proposals 4.12 and 4.19, mainly focused on the foreign function and memory APIs. My name is Carl D, and I'm a developer advocate at Azul Systems, and prior I've worked on software engineering projects for the federal government. A little plug, at Azul, we build high-performance Java runtime environments enabling companies to reduce infrastructure costs. A little bit more about myself. Back in the day, I used to tech review and author Java books. I typically share and advocate Java-based technologies to anyone who's willing to listen. You'll find me on Twitter and over at fuji.io. Enough about me, let's get started. So, as a Java developer, have you ever had a need to talk to native code? Well, as for me and my past job experience, I've used JNI, or better known as Java Native Interface. I needed to access Windows-based DLLs or shared libraries. There, I needed a way to have Java code to schedule events for Microsoft Outlook's calendar. This was no easy task, as we learned things the hard way. So let's look at some of the current solutions used today. Here we see five different solutions to access native code. While each has advantages over one another, they all typically require you to create additional code to bind or wrap native code. So wouldn't it be super awesome if you could write pure Java code to access native libraries without having to create wrapper code? Well, Project Panama comes to the rescue. So what is Project Panama? At a high level, Project Panama is an umbrella project comprised of JEP proposals that allow Java developers, like you and I, to access native code. These foundational proposals are the Vector API, Foreign Function API, and Memory API. In this talk, we won't be discussing the Vector API, and mainly Foreign Function and Memory APIs. At a quick glance, here's a timeline since 2018 and the proposals maturing as incubator modules. JEP 338 is the Vector API proposal for vector hardware chips for faster computations. JEP 370, Foreign Memory Access API, is a foundational API for how to access native off-heap memory and other types of memory. For 2020, the second and third incubators of the Foreign Memory Access APIs were created, and the beginning of the Foreign Linker API. For 2021, this past year, created JEP 4.12 and 4.19. 4.12 is the first incubator module for Foreign Function and Memory API in JDK 17, and 4.19 is the second incubator for JDK 18 and above. These APIs are simpler to use than JEP 4.12. Why Project Panama, you ask? Because Project Panama is a pure Java solution for native access. According to the enhancement proposals, here are the intended goals. Ease of use, especially compared to JNI, where you don't have to use glue code. Performance that is comparable to, if not better than, JNI. General purpose ways to operate on different kinds of memory on other platform architectures. Safety by default. The JDK will disable unsafe operations. Here it's a command line switch to opt in. Now let's look at a diagram on how Project Panama can access native code. Java Panama is able to create bindings to the C language ABI, or Application Binary Interface, a well-understood convention and standard. Often, libraries are written in C, enabling high-level languages to access the library. Here you'll notice Minecraft, the game using LWJGL, Lightweight Java Gaming Library, that will use JNI to access the OpenGL library. Also, what's nice about the CABI is that other languages are able to expose or export functions as C functions, thus enabling Java to talk to these libraries written in these languages. Before showing you how to use Panama, let's look at some fun demos. Here's an example of a rotating 3D surface calling OpenGL and the SDL library. This demo shows the rock, paper, scissors game using the Leap Motion device. In the next example, Panama talks to the video streaming library FFmpeg, where it embeds inside a typical JavaFX application. In the FFmpeg example, I embedded in a JavaFX application, and also I reference a callout library that I created to point out things of interest. In this example, Panama is able to talk to an RFID reader that can read tags or keychains. This example shows how Panama can actually talk to the Swift library to access the Apple Touch ID that's located on the keyboard. Again, we show you how Panama can actually talk to Swift to Apple's text-to-speech APIs.
Hello, Java Panama.
Assuming you are convinced, well, how do you get Panama? Well, it's already in the JDK 17 and above, as incubator modules, but to develop Panama, you'll need to use tools that are only available at jdk.java.net/Panama. There you'll see downloads for your favorite OS. This talk and detailed tutorials are located at github.com/CarlD/Panama, or you can search for the project Panama on fuji.io. Okay, before getting started, let's set up environment variables, and afterwards, we will verify a couple of things before jumping right into code. After you've downloaded the JDK from jdk.java.net/Panama, you'll need to set up your environment variables, Java Home and Path, respectively. Let's do a quick check to see if you've got the correct JDK. Another quick check is to see if the JExtract tool exists. You'll perform JExtract-H for the help menu. Let's go over five of the common command line switches that we will be using. Hyphen or dash capital I allows you to specify the C include files directory. Dash D allows you to specify a destination directory for source files or generated Java classes. Dash L, lowercase l, allows you to specify the installed library. For example, on the Mac, the shared library file libtensorflow.dylib is just TensorFlow. On Linux, it's libtensorflow.so, and that would just be TensorFlow. Dash dash source will generate Java source files, typically for your IDE. What's nice is that you can see the low-level Panama code that was generated. Dash T allows you to specify the package namespace of the generated code. Before using JExtract, let's look at a simple Hello World C program. The first line is an include of the standard input-output header, or standard io.h file. This is similar to the Java imports to use various functions defined inside the header. Next, within the main function is the printf function, similar to Java's system.out.printf method. Lastly is the main function's return of zero. Zero is often meaning the code ran successfully. Otherwise, it's an error or status code. Now that you know the basics of a Hello World C program, let's create a Hello World in Java Panama by using the JExtract tool. Before you can use the JExtract tool, you'll need to locate directories that contain header files you want to target, such as standard.io.h. Usually when you install SDKs such as Xcode or VS Code or GCC, directories will be installed with the C libraries and headers. Here we create a convenient environment variable to cut down on some typing when we execute JExtract later. Let's run JExtract to generate Java classes with the destination directory classes, package namespace as org.unix, and the include directory as the environment variable c_include, and as defined earlier, and targeting the standard io.h file. After the generation, the directories and Java classes reside in the classes directory. Again, we will run the JExtract to generate Java source code. Most IDEs will detect generated source directories to be added to their compile path. If you'd like to poke around the Java Panama source code using an IDE such as IntelliJ, you'll need to add a command line switch, which is the add modules jdk.incubator.foreign to the command line. All right, now let's mimic the Hello World C program in Java Panama code. These are the imports, mostly static, to help lessen the typing when calling these C equivalent functions. Let's see what Panama code looks like. Here you'll notice a try resources with a scope object. This is like a session when talking to the C world. After the code block is executed, the scope will close or clean up appropriately. Next is a method to convert the Java string into a C-type string. Here, the return type is a memory segment. Also, you'll notice the printf taking the C string to be invoked. In JET 419, JDK 18 and above, there have been some updates to the API when creating a C string instead of the prior example of toCString method. It is replaced by the allocate UTF-8 string method. Now let's run the code example. Here you'll notice the command line switches to be added. Enable native access equals all unnamed, and the add modules is jdk.incubator.foreign. Here's the output of the hello world in Panama. For starters, I want to show you how to mimic or create a C-based primitive variable in Panama. Here's how to create a C variable in JDK 17 using the segment allocator to create an object of type memory segment to store a value of type double that will contain the math.py. So just to clarify that in JET 412 or JDK 17, to access memory, it uses the memory access class to get and set memory segment objects. On the other hand, in JET 419 or JDK 18 or above, the memory segment objects now contain methods to get and set values. So next, let's allocate memory to hold an array of C doubles. Here, the code calls the segment allocator's allocate array method. This will create a memory segment object containing a C array of doubles off of the Java's memory heap. Next, the code simply iterates over the array to be displayed. In JDK 17, to access the value into the array, the code uses the memory access class's getDoubleAtIndex method. After execution, here is the output. For JDK 18 and above, the code is slightly modified to access the array of doubles using the memory segment's get method. So, what's a C pointer according to the C programming language book? So visually, you can see a pointer is a variable that holds an address as a value. In this picture, it's a 32-bit address or 4 bytes. The pointer itself also has an address in memory. So let's mimic a C pointer in Panama code. Here, an equivalent primitive variable allocated to store a value of type int. In JDK 17, you simply use the memory access class like before. In JDK 18, we use the memory address or memory segments get or set methods. For more complex things like classes, the C language has the concept of structs. Here, the keyword is used to define a point struct to hold two int values, x and y. To create an instance of a struct, you simply declare a variable with a prefix of struct, point. Okay, so how is this done using Panama? Here we use the memory layout struct layout method. By using the value layout types, such as C underscore int, they can describe the struct name of each of the fields using the with name method. After creating a struct or group layout instance, we can pass it into the allocator to create an instance of a struct. In this case, it is the variable C point. So how can we access the struct? Well, we can generate the var handle objects. These special objects allow you to know how to navigate a given memory layout. By using the respective get and set methods, you can access the struct similar to Java Beans. Again, this is how you access the struct or group layout in JDK 18 and above. To look under the hood and dig a little deeper, let's look at method handles. JXtract generates low-level code using method handles to look up native symbols and the ability to call into C functions. In layman's terms, loading shared libraries with method handles can reference symbols loaded from the java.library.path property. Let's look at a simple Unix or Linux function to obtain an application's process ID, better known as the getPID function in C. Here you'll notice this mapping to the C function via the C linker class's downCallHandle method. In JDK 17, the downCallHandle method will map data types between Java and the C function's signature. In JDK 18 and above, the downCallHandle method is much cleaner and simplified. Well, there you have it, a quick tour of Project Panama for newbies. Here are some links below and for further research. If you have any comments, please let me know at the chat below. Thank you and hope you have a great time at the conference.